Hey, welcome to the 10th break here on The Brian Suit Show, AM 770 KTTH, every weekday from 6 to 10. And there's stuff that always falls through the cracks. We're coming up on the 80th anniversary of D-Day in June, and oftentimes that's covered as sort of on this day, Ike just decided to invade France, to liberate France or something. The preparation for D-Day went right up to the week before D-Day, and April of 1944 was a watershed month for a couple of reasons. We'll get into right now. 27th and 28th of April was the date of what was called Exercise Tiger, which turned disastrous. It turned all too real. It was supposed to be increasingly realistic invasion practice to work out the kinks and the whole thing. But the random chances that happened in war struck the U.S. Army on the southern shore of England on 28th of April in Exercise Tiger, a story that was held very closely. It was classified until the 70s. And so what was it? What went wrong? I walked around yesterday and thinking hard. I walked the ground. This isn't at Slapton. This is my front yard, which is just like the southern coast of England. And let's join me in that walking around. That's the other thing I can't do in the 10th break. I can't walk around outside. But so here we go. We're 5 weeks away, approximately, from D-Day, right? Which was originally supposed to be the 5th of June. or the 4th of June, I forgot. So the first guys going in were, besides the minesweepers, right after the minesweepers, the first engineer special brigade was going to go in. Now, the U.S. Army had developed this amphibious unit specifically for clearing beaches, clearing lanes for follow-on landings of infantry and armor and the whole thing. They were very, very specific, very highly trained, very well equipped, and they had already done this job, in Sicily and then several times in Italy, and they had been in battle and it worked. But one of the things they knew is that they had to, they needed realistic training, and Ike had seen some of their training, and he said, "Listen, they need to train so realistically, because they were so crucial, they needed to train so realistically that they would not be surprised by the sound and violence and smell of combat when they hit that beach." Because they had done, of course, lots of live fire training of blasting obstacles and the whole thing. But for most of the men, they'd never been shot at. Most of these guys were not combat veterans from Sicily or Italy. Those guys were still in Sicily and Italy. But they had the lessons learned and all that. So Ike said, it's got to be realistic. And I mean, live ammunition. They need to simulate hitting the beach right after the naval gunfire lifts. Because we are going to shell the Germans and keep them in their bunkers, keep their heads down, so that we can cover these guys. And so this was going to be a combined arms, naval gunfire, and army engineer exercise, right? So they had these six or eight, what are called LCIs, landing craft infantry. And these are super flat bottom, low draft boats, so that, they literally drive right up on the beach. Now, these are not the landing craft that you saw in Saving Private Ryan. these are not those, what are called Higgins boats. These, you look at these and you would say, that's a ship. That is a merchant ship. It's got a bridge at the rear. It's got a flat deck and all that. And it's got a pointy bow, not a flat bow.
And it was intended to just pull right up on the beach and beach itself. And then all the guys scramble down these stairs, these ladders and stuff, and they get out. So when the exercise started, called Exercise Tiger, on the first day of it, there was a friendly fire incident where the commander decided, because they were supposed to land at 7:30, so the naval gunfire was going to be going, that exercise was going to be happening, but it would lift immediately at 7:30, and then all of the engineers were going to be hitting the beach, and they were trying to coordinate the timing, you know, to the minute. So the commander decided to hold off the landing until 8:30 on day one of the exercise. And the word didn't get out to everybody in the boats. And so men were landed at 7:30, the prior plan, and they got friendly fired. The naval gunfire didn't cease. We can't find the casualty numbers for that, because it was, you know, everything around D-Day by this time was super secret. That's why when the London Times famously published a crossword puzzle, and of course all of Ike's staff did the London Times crossword, one day the crossword had names like Overlord and Utah and Omaha and all this, and it just seemed like too damn much of a coincidence. So they went and talked to the guy who wrote the crossword, and they said, you know, what a clever way to tell the Nazis, you know, all these code words. And they cleared him. It was just random. So that's how serious they were about anybody who had any knowledge whatsoever about the Overlord plan. And there were very few people who knew the day of the invasion, the routes inland, the names of the beaches, who would be who on what beach. You know, and if you were at that level, that level was called bigot. There was only one level above that, and it was pretty much Ike and about eight other people. But if there were a whole bunch of people who had to be at, had to have what was called bigot level clearance. So that's how, that's why this friendly fire incident remained classified. So anyway, they recock for the next night. The same troops, and they're gonna get in position, go out to the channel, and the six LCIs, landing craft infantry, or landing ship infantry, LSIs, I'm sorry, the six get out there, and they have Royal Navy escort. There's a little Royal Navy corvette, and then there's a destroyer. Now the destroyer had a collision with one of the LSIs, and it had to head back to Plymouth for repairs. So the Admiralty was sending a replacement out to guard the exercise, but they couldn't actually tell the Americans that because they were on a different frequency. So they had no comms with the exercise. Now, the reason that's important is because the Germans had U-boats operating in the channel, though not as successfully as prior. But they also had a significant effort in the form of surface vessels called E-boats. Now, some people say E stands for Einsatzboot, meaning special boat. That's not true at all. The Germans called them Schnellboot, fast boats. The E was an English designation for enemy. But they had several classes. They were all very good, very fast, and they were better and more heavily armed than the British MTB, the motor torpedo boat, or the U.S. Navy PT boats, patrol torpedo. The British and the Americans used gasoline. The German Schnellboot, the fast boats, they used diesel engines. So diesel did two things. It gave them a little more robust engine, but mainly it gave them a longer range. So they could go hundreds of miles without refueling. So they were in Cherbourg on the Cotentin Peninsula, you know, the little the thumb of France that sticks up and points to England. And, you know, on the, and the whatever you call it, the webbing of the thumb, that's Normandy. Those are the Normandy beaches. So these guys were based in Cherbourg, and it wasn't a real effort to get across the channel. There are some reports that what was about to happen were due to a Luftwaffe aircraft spotting the exercise. And then most of the skippers who actually survived the war had said that, yeah, we were just given orders. We don't know where they came from. And then another skipper said, no, we were just good at our jobs. And what they normally did was they did operate in pairs or threes. But this was a case where six of them came out. And by the way, I have the numbers wrong. There were eight LSIs and six German E-boats. So in this case, a flotilla of all six sallied out of Cherbourg around 11 at night, around 11 at night, after darkness, and they went straight across the channel to the area where this exercise was happening, called Slapton Sands. Now, Slapton Sands have a similar topography of Normandy. That's why it was selected. And the Germans were arrogant, choking on their own hubris and the whole thing, but they were not stupid. And they knew that an invasion was coming. Indeed, they were supposed to know an invasion was coming. They were supposed to think it was going to happen at the Pas-de-Calais. And so the German military intelligence figured out, you know what, if it was us, we'd be practicing. So we need to look around England at possible exercise sites so that we can send reconnaissance flights there and see what they're doing. So they had their eyes on Slapton Sands for quite a while. But on this night, on the 27th of April, there was a deliberate operation. I think you should always assume that it's not a coincidence. What happened was the E-boats got to the area around Slapton Sands, and they saw the silhouettes of eight large boats, and they split into three pair to attack. They attacked with torpedoes and their 37-millimeter flak gun that they had on the boats. And damaged two, sank two, and the final casualties for this were, and listen to this, 749 American soldiers and sailors died in this attack. It was a huge shock, and the survivors had to be debriefed and told, never ever talk about this. Do not ever reveal that this happened. And that restriction lasted until the late 70s. Late 70s, early 80s. It was virtually unknown that that happened. It's so close to D-Day. the obvious reasons during wartime are, go without saying, but keeping it secret after the war was just kind of weird. But it was kept a very close-held secret for decades, and I don't believe there were any sort of court-martials or anything like that. All of the E-boats got away, got back. Ike was left with a couple problems, and one of the problems was that 10 officers were missing from the 1st Engineers Special Brigade. All 10 of them had bigot-level clearance. And Ike said, we are going to search until we account for all 10 bodies. Because, they were most of them were floating. But all 10 bodies were accounted for and found. The next thing was they wanted to account for any contraband documents they may have taken on the exercise with them. Everything was accounted for. But so there were 10 guys. Obviously, Ike's nightmare was that one of them was picked up as a survivor and then had a bunch of shit in his pockets. That would, because the 1st Engineers Special Brigade guys, they knew all about Omaha and Utah. They knew the first day's objectives. They knew where inland the first day's objectives were, and the whole thing. I mean, it was crucial. I mean, that literally, if one of them had been picked up and couldn't be accounted for, Ike was ready to call off D-Day because it would have been an absolute disaster. Now, you could make the argument that the Germans might have thought that the guy was a red herring, that he was intentionally put in the water like that or something like that. Because remember the famous operation where they put a vagrant in a Royal Marine uniform, dead vagrant in a Royal Marine uniform with a briefcase full of documents, and they, from a submarine off Spain, they threw him over the sub and he washed ashore with a bunch of disinformation, and the Germans actually bought it. The information was to get the Germans to think that we were going to invade Greece and not Sicily. And it worked. The Germans moved a SS Panzer Division to Greece. So we knew that the Germans, had been burned once before, right? And so had they found a dead body with those documents, somebody in the Abwehr would have said, no. Remember Major Martin, that dead body full of disinformation? We're not buying this. But so anyway, Ike was ready to call off D-Day because of this, not because of the loss of life of 749 men. But if he couldn't account for the 10 guys who had, insider information about Overlord, then he was going to be prepared to call it off. Anyway, that happened today in 1944. There's a memorial there at Slapton Sands, and it was only put up, obviously years after the war. Here's the other thing, is that the people nearby, knew that something had gone horribly wrong because the area was just flooded with American MPs and trucks. You don't move 749 bodies without somebody figuring out something went wrong. But they knew something had gone wrong, but they didn't know what. They didn't know the scale of it. And when they did, obviously years, decades later, they were horrified, and they put up a memorial. But anyway, that it's a little sideshow of World War II that very few people are aware of. Exercise Tiger became you could say a two-day disaster with the friendly fire the day before. And then the disaster on the night of the 28th of April. All right, that's what I forgot.